Well, good morning. Welcome to Calvary Chapel The Way. It's a blessing that you're here, and we want to welcome you. So please stand, and let's go before the Lord with a word of prayer. And so, Father God, today is the day you have made. We rejoice and we're glad in it as we celebrate this special time, Lord, to honor you, to glorify you in our church's 40th anniversary celebration. But yet, Lord God, we pray that you would touch every heart and touch every life for those that are present in here, those coming in, those outside setting up, and those, Lord God, who will be here later, and those tuning in online. We welcome all of you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus. And it's in his name we pray his blessing upon this time. Church, if you agree, say amen. Let's praise the Lord.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, the walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
You give and take away.
You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to sing. Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name.
Yes, give him praise, church. Hallelujah.
Was made before you spoke it to be. You were the King of Kings. Yeah, you were. Yeah, you were. And now you're reigning still, enthroned above all things. Angels and saints cry out. We join them as we sing.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever.
amazing offering, a life that shouts and sings the greatness of our King.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. We sing glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever.
Take my life. And for your glory, take my life and let it be yours. Take my life and let it be all for you. And for your glory, take my life and let it be yours. We sing glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. We sing glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever.
Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours.
Then take my life.
Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. We sing glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever.
God, well, it's a blessing as I began to consider what God has done over 40 years. And as a matter of fact, I still haven't figured out the internet yet and some of the Facebook things, and I mess it all up, and I said 49 years at one time. I go, 49? I read it, and I went, oh no, the 9 and the 0, too close to each other. And then, so I had to go back and correct it, and I didn't know how. I got on the phone and called. I go, how do you change something you put in there? And so all of that, it's 40 years, okay? Not 49. And anyhow, enough for that. But you know, all these years wouldn't have been possible without good leadership. And I've always maintained that I have to have wise counsel. And thanks be to God, over the years, some of these men have been with me for many of these years. Not all the way back at the beginning, unfortunately, but in some cases, the beginning of what a lot of people know there in Brea at the church location on Lambert. But we have 16 members of our leadership board, and that then doubled is their wives. And you put all that together, we have a large group of leaders and wives. Some are corporate board advisors, and then some are pastoral spiritual trustees, and the pastor board and ministry board. And all of them, combined with their wives, help form and confirm to me what decisions that I am seeking the Lord about. And it's been amazing because we've had such unity, and God has blessed us, and of course, thereby blessing you. Many of them are not in this service now because they're waiting for the lunch time. They've got this figured out. Okay, but the ones that are here for, and I'm not going to read out their names because some might be in the next service, would all of the leadership board members please stand, and their wives. Okay, if you're there with your wife, would you please stand, remain standing for a moment. And my wife is trying to get up, so. But anyhow, these are the people that have been praying in the background for you as a church, and that what I could seek the Lord for and what I could do in the Lord's wisdom. And so I do thank God for each and every one of them, because I never would have made it without them and the Lord's help. So God's blessed me with them in an amazing way. So I want to, and there's one who can't be here today, and that's Pastor Larry DeSimone, but he sent a letter, which will be read in just a little while. He's my corporate board of advisor from the spiritual capacity of a Calvary pastor. And we communicate all the time, sometimes more than I really want to, but anyhow. But it's such a blessing to thank God. And what I mean, really want to, I love the guy, but he's always calling me for some of his issues, so I'm counseling him a lot more than he's counseling me. But anyhow, it's such a blessing, and I thank God. So let's give thanks to the Lord for all of these men and women. And I thank the Lord for all of them. You may not see them back here, too. Maybe seated, and then I'm going to have Mike Harvey come up, and he's going to read the proclamation of, you might say, the Thanksgiving proclamation that was issued by our first president, who gave us a proclamation. We don't have a current one today from our standing president, but we'll go back to the first one. So, Mike Harvey, it's all good.
But here's the Thanksgiving proclamation that you will want to hear. Please listen as I read the proclamation issued by President George Washington at the request of Congress on October 3rd, 1789. By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all of the great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness to us, and to bless them with good governments, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the 3rd day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1789, George Washington.
Thank you, Michael. It reinstills in us that voice of confidence about our nation under God. And thanks be to the Lord that we have that. Well, there's a video that we're going to share with you that actually recaptures, I haven't seen it yet, that recaptures some of our history, especially for those who don't know it. This is our third church location, but it's still Calvary Chapel of Brea was our initial corporation and still is, but now we are also operating under Calvary Chapel the Way. So let's look at our history and then our present.
Our history begins with a passage from God's Word, where Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Calvary Chapel of Brea began as a home fellowship ministry through God's leading, and has today become a powerful ministry where Christ is not only the foundation of His church here in Yorba Linda, but He is also its architect and builder. He is building His church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ Himself as the chief cornerstone. In 1976, with God's blessings, four families left the main church of Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa to begin a new work in Brea, California. Ultimately, the Lord led us to purchase an existing X-rated theater. The marquee changed immediately to reflect that Calvary Chapel of Brea, where Jesus is Lord, was in town. At that time, Pastor Dave was chosen to be the assistant pastor. In 1978, he was asked by the board to take the senior pastorate of approximately 45 adults along with a pile of debts, ministering in the old Brea Theater. The church grew slowly as the Lord was preparing it and Pastor Dave for the future, with the past well behind and with God's faithfulness abounding. In 1985, with the attendance of a little over 400 adults, we managed to purchase property that formerly was an abandoned 84 Lumber Company warehouse. With nothing short of a miracle, and against all odds, the construction of new facilities for the church and its corporate headquarters for outreach ministries became operational in August 1986. All of this was completed without any special fundraising or building funds, but through the application of sound business principles and God's overwhelming providence. The church reached well beyond the original vision, seeing God's blessings on a regular basis, with the Lord adding to the church those to be saved. In 2012, Calvary Chapel of Brea moved to its new location in Yorba Linda and is now known as Calvary Chapel The Way. Today, Calvary Chapel The Way experiences a tremendous body ministry with numerous internal ministries. This reflects what is stated in the writings of Paul, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The church family of Calvary Chapel The Way is known for its overwhelming attribute of agape love, and for a powerful teaching ministry that brings God's Word alive and practical to everyday life experiences. The Lord has impressed upon the pastor of Calvary Chapel The Way to be a church that is obedient to the command of Jesus, where He said, "Go forth and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." Great I am, In 2014, Calvary Chapel The Way opened its doors to share its facility with Portview Preparatory, a school dedicated to students with disabilities. This fully accredited school utilizes the church building during the week, and its staff have helped train and equip Calvary Chapel The Way to be able to provide Sunday school classes for students with special needs.
From the beginning, our success relied heavily on our collaboration with Calvary Chapel The Way, and we have been blessed since we began, meeting Pastor Dave, Pastor Todd, and various members of the congregation, and working together to, A, better this facility, but also serve those that enter it. We're blessed to know that one of our students actually attends church with you, and we get to experience the wonderful things you do, your summer programs or your winter program. So our missions are, in a lot of ways, very similar. And I think we've all been blessed because of the relationships that we've had and we've developed.
Basically, the way we were led here is we have a son. His name is Caleb, which is this little guy right here. He's autistic. The Lord blessed us with this child. And I was involved in ministry, in the worship ministry, for a long time. And one of the things that we were suffering with a lot in our ministry was that my wife and I, we weren't together. We were always separated. Either I was involved in ministry while she was watching my son, or we swapped. She was involved in ministry. I was with my son. And it kind of, we did that for approximately 5 years. And then finally, the Lord told us, you know, that we really need to start focusing on our family. So while my son was going to a transitioning from one school to a different school, the Lord led us to a school that Calvary Chapel of the Way has been hosting. As the Lord revealed the school to us, he also led us to this church, Calvary Chapel of the Way, which at the same time was beginning a ministry for special need children. And it was such a blessing because we were able to bring Caleb, and he was welcome with open arms, as we were welcome with open arms. And somebody was here to watch Caleb, my wife and I had the privilege and opportunity to be sat under a solid biblical teaching, grow spiritually together. And, you know, from then on, you know, the Lord has just had us here for this whole time.
We are a church that is composed of people who are genuinely concerned about people. Ministry is not about programs. Ministry is about people. People who are drinking at the wells of living water and sharing that living water with others. Therefore, we at Calvary Chapel encourage people to use their gifts and talents to minister to each other's special needs. Great emphasis is placed on equipping believers to do the work of the ministry. As we are equipped, we might better be a witness to one another and to the world around us.
We started coming to the Old Brea Chapel in the year around 1980. We were baptized in Corona del Mar in 1989. We have a wonderful time when we come to church.
The first time I was invited to church by my daughter-in-law.
Really?
And I never left it. One visit,
wow. And
I never left the church. Wow. I just love the way he preaches.
We were, you know, lurking for churches, and she says, well, there's an old church down on Brea Boulevard, but it's in the old theater there. And I said, well, okay. You know, though, I guess it was a thirst, because we've gone through the situation and where it wasn't, our former churches that was like, this is what I say, do as I say, I didn't really believe it was from God's word, but I didn't ever, growing up, never really got into the word, and after getting into the word, or starting getting introduced, I had a real thirst, and at that time, Bible studies were at Sunday night, and we'd go through that, and then afterwards, Dave and I would be talking for about an hour afterwards.
We just love it here, and I love the prayer. The prayer is, from the very beginning all the way through, that is where kept my heart into Jesus Christ.
My wife Debbie and I came here in the mid to late 80s, and we just fell in love with it, with everybody, and they're so wonderful and loving.
Well, actually, we had been looking for a church, and we were on our way to another church, and we couldn't find that church, and we went by and saw that there was a new Calvary. We went in and absolutely loved it, and been there ever since.
Wanted a place where we could feel home, and we felt that right away when we came to the Brea facility, and just right away we knew that this was the place for us.
It's already home. My church has really become an extension of the family, in a sense where it's already part of my makeup as far as like the home and what I consider part of my what I invest all my time in. So it's very important to me. This, my church and Pastor Dave and the parishioners here are all like extended family. So that's probably why we're so involved with that.
Calvary Chapel of the Way, to me, has been really an extension of our family. It's a place I can come and really call home.
We love the fellowship here. We love the people. You got to fire on several different levels. One, you have to have strong biblical doctrine that is biblically accurate. And so we definitely are a Bible-believing church. That's number one. Number two is the leadership. The leadership is committed to growing not just in head knowledge, but in living out our lives spiritually.
We are a church that is composed of people who are being built together as a fellowship in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we at Calvary Chapel The Way believe that the only true basis of Christian fellowship is His agape love, which is greater than any differences we possess. Therefore, all people are welcome to attend without regard to race or color or creed or social status.
Is very much a family. Everybody wants to be involved and is eager to participate.
We're very happy with the church. You know, everybody's wonderful.
It actually became a family to us. We miss it if we were not here. I try not to miss any. It's just the friendship, loving. Everybody cares about everybody. Everybody knows everybody, so that's one thing. And there's an air or an aura about it. I don't know whether it's from the pastor on the way down and all the pastors and the music, just everything in general that somebody looks for. I would say, in a church.
Well, you know, at first it was a little nerve-wracking. We weren't exactly sure how they were going to accept Caleb, but as people just embraced Caleb and embraced us. You know, the people have just been outstanding here, you know. I mean, God's love has just shined, you know, and has, you know, the people here have accepted us as family.
The community of Calvary Chapel The Way is very warm, very inviting. There's no pretenses. The people here are very real and welcoming to others. I love the sense of community we have, and as the Lord commanded, we strive to be one in the spirit, of one mind and of one spirit, and I think we do a good job of that.
It's a home. We're family.
And people are very caring and loving, and it's easy to make it feel like it's your family.
Very close-knit, very loving, supportive of one another. Very encouraging body.
This is my spiritual family, and it's just a big family, and yet it's a family of servants, too. And I mean, everything that we're doing here, just really welcome, warm, inviting, supportive.
It's definitely a family. As a whole, when you look at it, we're all trying to do God's work. I think we all relish in doing God's work, so that's probably what you get the sense of when you're working here and attending services.
And we are a community of believers that really love one another as we love the Lord Jesus Christ, and we spur one another on towards that growth in our knowledge and our relationship with Christ.
When we first attended here, we got such a wonderful experience to where it felt like a home, and we've been coming here ever since.
We are here all the time, and we love it. I mean, these people that are here at this church, we are closer to than some of our family. When we're going through some stuff, there have been so many people that have come up to the plate and helped us with things and giving us meals when our twins were born and all that stuff and praying for us. It's just been a real big blessing. This is our home.
The support is just incredible. I think without that fellowship, you're not going to make it. So we're just blessed to have an amazing church body here.
We are a church that is composed of people who are not bound by an organized membership, but do share in a fellowship commitment to this body within the greater body of Christ. Therefore, we at Calvary Chapel encourage commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ and His church through our personal support of the church's leadership, by prayer and encouragement, our financial support through tithes and offerings, and our physical support through attendance and participation.
And we come all the way from Whittier.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's
yeah.
a long drive.
Yeah,
that's
it is. But not to us, because we know we're coming to church.
I think being committed to the body and committed to serve, it just makes it, it teaches your kids that this is a part of their life. This isn't something you just go do on Sunday. It is, this is our life. You know, we live or die the body of Christ. Mm. That's what this is. And we've seen it over and over again in ministry. The kids that serve are the ones who continue going on and with the Lord. The ones who don't serve are the ones that fall away.
We are a church that is composed of people who are growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and being conformed into His image by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our desire is to know Him and make Him known. Therefore, we at Calvary Chapel believe that our worship of God should be spiritual, so we remain flexible and yielded to the leading of the Holy Spirit to direct our worship. We also believe that our worship should be intelligent, so we design our service with great emphasis upon the teaching of the Word of God, that He might instruct us how He would be worshiped. We also believe that our worship of God should be inspirational, so we give great place to music in our worship. We also believe that the worship of God is fruitful, so we look for His love in our lives as a supreme manifestation that we have truly been worshiping Him.
I think with me it was the miracle of prayer when we went from the old building to the new building, and I saw how much prayer answered so many questions. When I was called to the ministry, which was a combination of Dave and another gentleman in our church at the time, I felt like I was called because I did not want to do that. And so I opened my heart and I prayed. It was a long time praying, but they needed help there. So everybody kind of looked at me. I said, I'll organize it and we'll see where it goes. Yeah. And I was blessed with that. And then after that, coming here, again, prayers. The power of prayer in this church is just unbelievable. And miracles do happen. Things are just so powerful here.
We've been able to grow and mature spiritually and in every way, with Pastor Dave's teaching. He just teaches in a way that we've been able to grow, and we've been able to grow together with our family. Our daughters grew up there.
I was a young man coming into the church who really didn't even know how to find the books of the Bible. And through the men's Bible study, through the IMT offered here, God really opened my eyes to really what the Word of God says.
Well, I know that teaching is a big part of what we do at our church, and the education has just been amazing. And not only the book learning, but there have been a lot of people, men I know that I've looked up to, that have just been good examples, and the church just fosters that with the studies and the fellowships.
I've seen myself closer to the Lord, to where I'm a better person, I'm a better wife, I'm a better mother, friend, and the more I get involved, the more I get filled with the Spirit, and I'm actually having people come up to me and tell me that they can see that I'm filled with the Spirit, and that's awesome.
In closing, the words of Psalm 75 says, "Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks, unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge."
stands above the rulers.
One man said, "Promotion cometh from the Lord." Calvary Chapel of the Way stands out as a church where it would be well said that it is God's people making a difference. Lord,
Todd's going to read a letter. Pastor Larry DeSimone of Silverado Canyon could not be here, but when I taught Bible college at Costa Mesa, he was my premier student. He turned out to be the only one that survived. But it's such a blessing. We've known each other many, many years, and he's a servant of God, but he's doing his services this morning. So he sent a letter to you and to us, giving us thanks for what God has done.
Dear Pastor Dave and Calvary Chapel The Way, I want to thank you and congratulate you in teaching God's Word so faithfully these 40 years. As our Lord has said, "And I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. Indeed, you are an example of the faithful shepherd of the Lord in feeding God's church His Word. Throughout the seasons of ministry, you have stayed true to our Lord and our Lord's Word. Over the years, you have been a co-laborer with God's Spirit to bring the gospel to thousands of people in Orange County and around the world by the grace of God. One of the tests of a man of God and the ministry they've been called to is the test of time, and you have stayed true to the gospel and to the faithful exposition of the Scriptures, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I say, praise the Lord. The body of Christ needs more men like you. Indeed, when you stand before our precious Lord in that great day, may you hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things." May you continue to be a shepherd after God's own heart in feeding His people with the knowledge of Himself through His wonderful Word. God's blessing on you and all of Calvary Chapel The Way, and may your latter years be even more fruitful than ever. Let's give the Lord a thank offering for that. And right now, I'd like to actually ask Pastor Dave to come back up here. I'm going to make a slight change to the schedule. And Debbie, would you be willing to come up here as well? And the board members are going to come forward. You know, the Bible says to give honor where honor is due. And especially elders who, it says double honor to those who are responsible for the word and doctrine. And for 40 years, we thank the Lord for His faithfulness to our fellowship, to our church, to our ministry. But we also want to thank Pastor Dave and Debbie for 40 years of your faithful service unto the Lord. And so as our board, and actually as an extension of our entire church, we want to present you with this certificate of recognition. Wow. This is one of the largest certificates you'll ever receive. Let me read this to you briefly and see if my eyes will work here. Pastor David W. Berg, I won't read all the letters behind that. In recognition of 40 years of faithful service to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as an overseer above reproach, and as a dedicated and selfless minister to the body of Christ at Calvary Chapel The Way in Yorba Linda, California, with our deepest love, gratitude, and appreciation, Calvary Chapel The Way, November 2016. So we want to thank you, and let's all just join together and pray for our pastor and his wife as well. Lord, we thank you so much for 40 years of ministry. You've blessed this ministry, but you've blessed Pastor Dave and Debbie. And Lord, he has been a faithful servant of yours all the years. Through the good times and through the difficult times, he's been faithful. And Lord, you've been faithful. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We pray that you would continue to bless Pastor Dave and Debbie in their health and in their ministry. And the ministry of this church, we just pray that you would continue what you started so many years ago. We thank you for it, and we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.
to the courts of the King. I am ushered into your presence. Lord, I stand on your merciful ground, yet with every step tread with reverence.
Welcome in to the courts of the King. I am ushered into your presence. Lord, I stand on your merciful ground, yet with every step tread with reverence.
And I'll fall face down as your glory shines. Yes, I'll fall face down as your glory shines around. Who is there in the heavens like you, and up on the earth who's your equal? You're far above, you're the highest of heights. We are bowing down to exalt you. And I'll fall face down as your glory shines around. Yes, I'll fall. Your glory shines around, around. Yes, I'll fall face down as your glory shines around.
Let's all stand up and sing it together.
Yes, I'll fall face down as your glory shines around.
Take my place, that you would bear my cross.
will lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me.
Yes, hallelujah. We give you praise. All that you've done.
Father God, we thank you. It's to you we give you honor, praise, and glory for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're yet to do. For I thank you, God, you're not dead, but you're very much alive. And our world needs to know the truth of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father God, that even as we reminisce and look back at our history and our present, that there's much more to be done. But I pray, God, for each and every one that's here today, those present in here now and those coming at the next service. God, pour out your Spirit upon their lives and touch them. Heal the sick, Lord God. Minister to the brokenhearted. And encourage and strengthen those that are here, Lord, and those of our family who cannot be here for whatever reason that may be. And God, that you would just multiply your Spirit's work in people's lives to reach out and touch others in these last days, for our world needs to know the light, and the light is Jesus Christ. We pray for this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Continue your blessings at this service. And church, if you agree, say amen. Before you get seated, turn to the person next to you and say, cheer up, the Lord loves you. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord. I'd like you to open up your Bibles in this time we have to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and did I get some prizes, but the total threw me off key there for a moment. But I was just sitting there thinking that I remember the time I went to Ghana, West Africa, and spoke to 100 pastors there, and they went out and encouraged and became village pastors and went all over the place. And the pastor we raised up and licensed and ordained there actually today still has our Bible college operational there, and he's sending out pastors in Ghana, Africa, and we started works in Switzerland. And there are several Calvary chapels today that actually got their start through our ministry right here of Calvary Chapel. You saw our three locations, but there's been many years of history and a lot of people. And I thank God. But I thank God for this stage of my life right now too, because the challenges he put upon my heart to come here are enormous at times, but my God is enormous. He's everlasting, and he has great strength. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and I want you to follow along, please, as I begin reading at verse 7. It says, on that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, and make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face forevermore, and remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. Skip down to verse 34, please. And oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation, gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And all of the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. I have nothing but praise in my heart to the Lord for his faithfulness. And this psalm, actually 1 Chronicles chapter 16, is repeated in various elements in Psalm 105, Psalm 96, and also in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. But it's a psalm, or a, in this case, a historical account of people of God giving thanks to the Lord for everything he has done. And yet, you know, you can't think but in your own life how many things he has done for you personally and how many things he continues to do in your own lives. And as we are working on that, I'll try and keep you up to date with where we're at. You should have an outline this morning. That should help. The heart of thanksgiving, expressing that. But as I think about that, I'm reminded of things that we are thankful for, little things and big things, as we got to hear in some of that video. But my favorite holiday is Thanksgiving, and I love the food. But it's not just that. It's our only holiday that really just takes time out to give thanks to God. And I love what our president then, Washington, said about Thanksgiving, that all of our Thanksgiving is to our God. It's not about us, but it's about him. And giving that reality of who we are to him and who he is to us. But it's in Thanksgiving Day, the aroma of the turkey filled Charlie Brown's house. And Snoopy was outside laying on top of his doghouse. He smells that aroma. And he starts thinking, it's Thanksgiving Day. Everybody eats turkey on Thanksgiving Day. So he lies there watching the back door, eagerly waiting for his Thanksgiving dinner. Finally, the door opens. And here comes Charlie Brown with a bowl of dog food. And he puts it on the ground. Snoopy gets off of his house, stares at the dog food with a forlorn look on his face, and he thinks, just because I'm a dog, I have to eat dog food on Thanksgiving Day? Then the next square shows him looking at the dog food more intently, and he's thinking, it could be worse. I could be the turkey. And so it is with Thanksgiving. Yeah, we could be. And some might act like it at times. But it was Thanksgiving season in a nursing home. The small resident population was gathered about their humble Thanksgiving table, and the director asked each one to express one thing for which they were thankful. And thanks were being expressed there in the home in which people were staying, families. But one little lady there, in her turn, came to say what she was thankful for. And she says, I thank the Lord for two perfectly good teeth, one in my upper jaw, one in my lower jaw, and that match, so I can chew my food appropriately. And you know, there's big things we're thankful for, and there's small things. I don't know what yours is today, but I am truly thankful for what God has done. But we need a thankful heart. And a thankful heart is something that truly is something that is born of God, because he's done so much in our lives, and we know he is our hope for our lives, and so by that, we can continue to give thanks. This particular scripture, in giving thanks to the Lord, as he says in verse 34, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures how long? But forever. And that's a promise to you and I today. Most of us take a great deal in our life for granted. Most of us complain more than we think. Most of us more often are displeased, than we want to be. But sometimes we forget to be grateful. And the gratefulness of God in our life is amazing. In fact, there's 138 passages, I'm not going to read them all to you today, of Scripture that deal with the subject of being thankful. It is to be thankful that we're all called to be. In fact, God places a high emphasis on our being thankful, and so should the church. Here in these verses, it's a beautiful recording of David's psalm and the spiritual history of Israel at this time. But in order to understand David's gratitude that he wrote this, we must understand that the events that transpired prior to this, what's called a song of praise or a psalm of praise. You see, the Ark of the Covenant had been stolen by the Philistines. The ark contained two stone tablets, one jar of manna, and Aaron's staff that had budded. But that's a different story for today. We don't have time to go there. But it signified God's word, God's provision, and God's power for his people. In fact, it represented the reality of God's presence with them for his people, and God's presence that was resting upon the Ark of the Covenant. When the Philistines stole that Ark of the Covenant, they, in essence, stole the reality of God's presence from God's people. And so, therefore, God's people had lost their focus. And you know, it's so easy to do sometimes. Things intervene in our lives, things get in the way of our life, and we lose the focus on our being grateful to God, who's in charge of everything in our life. And yet we need to be reminded of it. It's easy in our daily life to lose the awareness of God's presence, isn't it? In fact, the enemy wants to rob us of that awareness. Satan will use anything he can to distract us from that intimate relationship with Christ and make us to lose our focus. If he can make you lose your focus, he can make you ineffective in the kingdom of God. And that's something we don't want to be. But coming back, the Philistines stole the ark, and that was serious business with God. God wasn't happy with it. And for the sake of time, we're not going to read about it, but you can check it out later today or this Thanksgiving in 1 Samuel chapter 5. I find it quite humorous. But they placed this ark in the temple of Dagon. Who was their god at the time? Dagon was the fish god. He was Charlie Tuna under the sea. No, he wasn't. But he came from underneath, beneath. And so they take the Ark of the Covenant and they set it next to their god statue, Dagon. It's really cute because God has got such a sense of humor. Because in the morning when they came into their temple to give worship to Dagon and noticed that they captured that ark, what happened was the statue of Dagon is laying face down on the ground. And the ark is remaining steadfast. And they go, what happened? We don't know what happened. So they set that statue back up and fixed it and put there. And then the next morning they came back into worship. When it came back into worship, there was the Ark of the Covenant sitting there as was, but the statue of Dagon has now fallen to the ground. The head fell off, the arms fell off, the leg fell off, and all there was a torso left of this statue. Thank God for duct tape, but they didn't know it about at the time because they were able to piece this statue back together, and I think they got the message. Sometimes in our life, we worship other things than the true and living God. Sometimes things take precedence in our life that are beyond the scope of our true and living God, and we need to fix it. But if that wasn't bad enough, I love the story of history because they still didn't quite get the message. So God smote them, it says in 1 Samuel, with tumors. In the Old King James Version, it says emerods, which from the word hemorrhages is derived, or hemorrhoids, excuse me, is derived. Now, if that isn't bad enough, comedian Steve Geyer once illustrated the Philistines in that story. They said, we got to get the Ark of the Covenant out of here. Oh, and in their pain, give it back. Or they might say from the movie Frozen, let it go, get it out of there. God wasn't pleased with setting him with that statue of something beneath the sea when he is the God of all heavens and of all earth. God is not to be compared with man's little gods. So after 7 months of torture with the Philistines and their physical problems, they sent the ark back. They said, we can't have this here any longer. It was placed 10 miles from Jerusalem at a place called Kiriath Jearim and forgotten about, so to speak. But God hadn't forgotten about the ark. And so Saul became the first king of Israel. He neglected to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. Can you imagine when you are a spiritual authority, when you're the king, and you say, I'm not going to bring God into this? And yet, God forbid, in our nation, if we don't bring God back to this nation. But yet, it was at that time, so Israel kept losing battle after battle, and they couldn't figure out why. Well, it was obvious to you and I. See, the ark was gone, so to speak, from where he belonged in the center of their lives, and yet it wasn't missed at all. It kind of just kind of grew off, and people went off with their own ways and continued to suffer defeat after defeat. Their life was out of balance. However, King David comes on the scene, a man after God's own heart, and he directed that the ark be returned to Jerusalem, and God's presence again became the center of the life of the people of Israel. And yet this story we're reading is the spiritual highlights of that very event. And David, of course, arranges for the ark to be brought to Jerusalem because one day a temple will be built there, a place where people can not only think of the ark, which represented the glory, the Shekinah glory of God, but they could actually experience it by worshiping God. And David was the restorer of all of that. And yet it took some steps to get there. David had to follow God's order and get it together. But in verse 36, we come to it, and 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34. 4 through 36, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And then down in verse 36, he says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And all of the people said, amen. And they praised the Lord. You know, as I think about this at this particular moment, we often find ourselves with an unthankful heart. In fact, there's a scripture when Jesus in his earthly ministry speaks about how 10 lepers came to him and they were crying out because of their leprosy. They were hurting and they needed somebody to fix this problem. As often in our own life, we need to go to the true and living God. And they did. They sought him out. And it says that the Lord just said, they was asked, Lord, have pity on us. And he did. And he says, go show yourselves to the priest. Your leprosy is cleansed. And so their leprosy was taken away by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting, though, because, and the lepers that were cleansed, only one of them came back to give thanks. All of the rest just took what they needed and left. But there was one who came back. Kind of reminds me of people that sometimes people lose that perspective in their life of what God has done, and they go about their life, and God is not the center anymore. In some cases, he is, but they forget. It was God who brought them that deliverance. Well, I can't forget what God has done for me. I thank God every day that God has given me life, he's given me hope, and he's given me a future. And it's not all over yet. I never imagined myself facing a day that I would be 40 years as a pastor in the ministry. And I started off, I didn't want to take the pastoral role. So they said, okay, Dave, you can be the assistant pastor. But I ran the whole church. I did everything. And I did everything except speaking because I didn't want to do that. And then I was forced to do that. And I go, okay, great. Now I've become not only this pastor, but then I was told by the attorney for Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, you were supposed to be the senior pastor from day one. But since you wouldn't take it, we had to wait till God made it available. And God made it available. And I took over and I thought, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? I have to prepare a teaching and stand in front of people. I didn't want to do that. Sitting behind a desk was easy. But yet, taking and being responsible for the people, well, that's another story. But yet, as I think about that, how Jesus was so disappointed because only one person cared enough to give thanks to the Lord. And how much has God done in all of your lives? If we could just take the time right now, it would go well beyond this service, and we would go directly to lunch, which might not be a bad idea. However, there's other people to come in. But have you given thanks to God? How many times he's protected you? How many times he's watched over you? How many times he reached out to you? And I'm looking out here today, and I see a good friend, retired major of the Marine Corps, my alma mater. And yet, when he came in here in this church, his wife had brought him, and he was walking with a walker. He had a major stroke, and he could barely get words out of his mouth. And today, he's a man of God who can walk. He could probably dance. I'm not going to ask you to do that, Tom. No, his wife said, no, he can't. But it may not because of physical, but he's doing really good. And how many times God has reached out to you? How many times has he protected your child even when you didn't know it? How many times has he done things when you weren't aware? But they were aware. They got healed, but they didn't even give thanks to the Lord. So the unthankful heart, sometimes it happens. And what causes it? Well, there's a few reasons. One is affluence. We live very affluent lives compared to the rest of the world. And we're so caught up because we have to live for the things we've got to live for, right? You have to take care of them. I've got a friend who lives near me, and he's always out there dusting off his car. I don't have the ambition to dust off my car, but he does. It's a Porsche. If you had the Porsche in your garage, you would probably dust it off too. But he does. And he was a professor retired from Azusa Pacific. And he's a really nice man, but I always see him because his garage is across from mine, and he's always out there dusting the car. He says, would you come over and dust my wife's car and my car? He hasn't volunteered yet. But you know, sometimes affluence gets in the way, and unfortunately he's not in church today because, or any church, because of some things he was disappointed in and one pastor that he had. And unfortunately this pastor committed a sin that was really devastating to his family's life. And yet, the marriage was lost. It was a catastrophe. But this man and his wife don't go to church anymore, even though they teach at a Christian university. Another reason, perhaps, we're ungrateful is pride. Pride gets in the way, our arrogance. Well, what have you done for me lately? What have you done for me now? Can you help me now? Well, we were trying, you know. But a bumper sticker reads, I couldn't have done it without me. And in our pride, we don't even take time to thank God that He made it possible. He gave you the brain of that head you got on your shoulders. He gave you the strength to walk. He gave you the strength for your life. He blessed your life. And sometimes when things are going well, we're going, thank you, Jesus. When things aren't going so well, Jesus, where are you? And I hear it. I haven't seen some people for many years. And there's many people in those videos that sometimes I don't see them until they call the office and they speak to one of my staff members, usually Debbie Harvey, and they say, can Pastor Dave do this funeral? And he doesn't, I mean, he knows me, he hasn't seen me a long time. Yeah, could be years. And yet we accommodate. We reach out wherever we can. Because thanks be to God, and unfortunately, we haven't seen these people in many years. Another reason we're so ungrateful is the people we choose to surround ourselves with. Some of those people are negative. I don't know if you know any negative people. I do. I've known many over the years. And yet, it's interesting because the Bible says bad company corrupts good behavior. In Proverbs, we're told that we need to be careful. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, be careful about choosing your friends. Because they can bring negativity and negativity and negativity. I think we got enough negativity. All you got to do is watch the news or read the paper or look at it on the internet. Our world is filled with it. And I mean, some of the people we hang with or some of the places, there's so much negative complaining people. In fact, one of the reasons that I decided I wasn't going to play golf anymore because that's where there's so much negativity out there because everybody misses a shot, everybody. And when they do, it explodes. In so many ways. But the beauty salons, the golf courses, the teacher's lounge, Sunday school classes, our lives are filled with people that are negative and so often ungrateful. But God, we need to show our gratitude to. Amen? I mean, He's everything in our life, but we're also ungrateful out of habit. See, sometimes, especially when we pull away from God, we become people who form a new habit. It only takes you about 3 weeks to form a new habit. Takes you almost 6 weeks to get a good new habit formed. In fact, I studied in the behavioral sciences and I learned it takes 6 weeks of continuing to practice the same thing in order to get the positive side of that. But that means if you're 6 weeks away from giving God praise or giving thanks, guess what's going to happen? You got a whole new habit. And the habit is not a hat and it's not a good thing to wear. But yet we get those moments in our life in gratitude and grumbling. It becomes addictive, folks. And one last reason we are sometimes ungrateful is because of circumstances. And that I understand because working as a chaplain in crisis care and trauma, circumstances that happen in people's life and being a former counselor to people in marriages and life and disappointments, it's so easy to let ingratitude wrap around our circumstance. It is so easy. But yet, the difficult part of that is you need to break that habit. You need to get out of it. You need to let the circumstances be to God. Now, I don't know what specific reason you have to be ungrateful, but I want to tell you something this morning. There's a few exhortations I'd like to give you from these verses. In chapter 16 of 1 Chronicles, and look with me, first of all, at verse 7 and 8. He says, on that day, David first delivered the psalm. Now, that he's brought the Ark of Presence there to Jerusalem to be in the temple so people could see God once again. And on that day, David first delivered this psalm or this song into the hand of Asaph, his chief musician. He was his key worship leader. And his brethren to thank the Lord. That was very first. And then he says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name and make known his deeds among the people. You ever take time out to just give thanks about things? You ever take time out because it brings the presence of God right into your circumstance. Too often we're focused on the negative, but the positive is that energy of the Holy Spirit that is, he's just waiting and brooding, the Holy Spirit is, to come right into your scene when you begin to give thanks to the Lord for what he's done in your life. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you because they trust in you, O Lord. So if you want peace and you want a steady mind, and yet as we do that, but the Bible also says, bless you in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. That literally means to give praise to God. For what? His holy name. See, it's in the name of Jesus we can pray. It's in the name of Jesus we can lay hands on the sick, and we see many recover. Just a few weeks ago, we had the people that were needing prayer for sickness and so on, and we were believing for the gifts of healings to happen, and we had several people come up. They filled the whole front, and you know what? I've had people get a hold of me and contact me. They said when they were prayed for that day, whatever was afflicting them left. Wow, praise be to God. Now, it doesn't always happen like that. But the Lord says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. What are they? Who forgives all your sin. That's amazing. All of them? Yeah. Call upon his name. Who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, and who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, and who satisfies your mouth with good things. I told my doctor just recently, one of my doctors, I have a few now. I'm getting up there. Okay, so I'm trying to keep track of them. You know, it used to be one, now I got a few. But I told this doctor, and by the way, all my blood work and everything came up perfect, okay? Thanks be to God. And so she was telling me, she goes, well, you know, you have to be careful with certain things, you know, with alcohol. I go, really? I haven't drank alcohol in 41 years. What? Any alcohol? No, not even my cologne. I'm careful not to put it near my mouth, and so that I'll breathe it. But she goes, really? That's amazing. I go, yeah, but I've been around for a few years, you know, so now I got plus 40 that I haven't drank alcohol because God delivered me. Now, I know she was a good Catholic lady, so she's nice. Pray for her. Anyhow, satisfies your mouth with good things. The Lord fills my life today with good things, and part of what he's talking about is to give praise. That's what he's saying. That's the good things. He says in verse 8, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, and make known his deeds among the peoples. And then, secondly, the second exhortation. By the way, we just studied exhortations last week in the gifts of the Spirit. These are exhortations. They're coming from the Spirit of God. And so, sing to him. Well, I can't do that very well, but I do try. And that's why they put me over here. See, I'm away from all of you. I'm right there in the front when I sing, so I don't ruin it for you. But that's okay. God loves my praise. In fact, I think I'm actually getting better. I may not be singing on key, but that's okay. Pastor Todd hasn't invited me up in the worship team, and Irene won't have me in the choir, so I'm stuck. But that's okay. Sing to him. And yet I remembered, if you lose your focus, you will get that gratitude back when you sing and praise. That's why we come to church, by the way, to sing and praise. We praise together. And when you're praising the Lord, I get encouraged. When I hear your voices, I get encouraged. When I hear the worship team, I get encouraged. It blesses me and it blesses you. See, singing praise is the exact opposite of murmuring complaints. Exactly the opposite. God's not in on that, by the way. He does not entertain himself by listening to all your murmurs. As a matter of fact, that could get you in trouble. Be careful if you take away his presence by spreading your negative to other people. You just might get that little thing that the Philistines got. And it wasn't pleasant. They were so much in a hurry to get rid of that ark because it was causing them physical impairment as well. If you know God's forgiveness, then you have every reason to be positive and optimistic. You go, well, you're just a positive person. Actually, I wouldn't be under normal circumstances, but I'm not under normal circumstances. I'm trusting in God, and he always gives me that right attitude, but sometimes we forget. Third exhortation, he says in verse 10, he says, glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who rejoice who seek the Lord. So glory in his holy name, and giving him glory. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So when you came this morning, and you made that drive, and you pulled into the parking lot, and you said, wow, that was such a blessing to not have traffic today. Yeah, you might have said that. Or it was such a blessing to come to church today, and you were thinking, are they going to have food after the first service? Because I'm coming for the first service. Nope. Second service. So, but yet we glorify Christ when our lives are congruent with his word, when they're lining up with the word of God. And you put that together, it's amazing. And then the fourth exhortation, verse 11, he says, seek the Lord in his strength and seek his face forevermore. And by the way, God's not finished with our church. This box of love, I'm so excited. We used to get these boxes of love delivered to us so we could hand out to people on holidays. We'd have right there in some of those pictures right in front of our other church on Lambert, we would have big groups of people out there. We would give these boxes of love. So today we want to give back. So you get involved and you'll get blessed. And this could be used in our ministries and so on. I'm so excited. Port View Preparatory, I gave them 10 boxes. Their school is going to fill those up and join them with our boxes so they can be given out and blessed. And we can use them for our outreaches. And God's Cupboard, another opportunity. To go to the VFW on the second and fourth Friday in Anaheim and give out food. Comes right down the street here. You can go over and help package that. And so I'm believing God for that all to take place right away. I'm setting up all that. And then this week, Victim Relief Ministries, a former ministry I used to run in California, now have asked me to take the helm again for Southern California. And I go, can we reduce it from Southern California to Orange County? And they go, yeah. So I'm going to be taking that on. Dr. Norm Wright and I had two lengthy conversations because the tragedies of fires and all this stuff, they need people in Southern California. And so I'm going to revamp that. So calling all of you men and women to become chaplains, to be trained to respond to disasters when the call comes. And so we'll be doing that. No, I'm not finished. I'm just started. And so the reality is the fifth exhortation is really verse 12. He says, remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders, and the judgment of his mouth. And at the end, all the people said, in verse 36 at the end, and all the people said, amen, means so be it, and they praised the Lord. I like an amen church. I like a church where the power of God's there, and we can give thanks. Well, there's a lot we could give thanks for today, but the timing will not make it available for us to all of you do that, but giving thanks is a matter of letting the Lord take your heart. Know his presence is with you, and know that he'll never forsake you or leave you. So this morning, making that reality sure and steadfast, we're going to receive of the table of the Lord in communion and celebrate what he's done. So I'd like you, while they're passing out the bread and the cup, please hold on to both, and I'd like you just to bow your head while you're waiting and just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord right there for what he's done for you, because he's not finished. He's got more he wants to do. Father God, I thank you today, even taking this moment of all that you've done, and for the people preparing the food for this afternoon's lunch, for the people who did so much, my staff who's incredible, I give you thanks for them, my board and leadership, and all of these people that are here and those online, I give you thanks. Thank you, Lord.